Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin. Bez Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 574, with the Sefer Binyan Abayis, Living Marriage. Lesson number 6, Embracing Relationships. So he has a very interesting story here about Midas and how to look at it. This very famous Rosh Hashiva had a son who on the surface could be described as not having good Midas. Good person, but more loud, and gave the impression of being not so refined. Finding a shidduch for him was a challenge because everyone knew his nature. There was a suggestion made regarding a certain young woman who was a Yerei Shemayim, very modest, impeccable good midos. Everyone was sure that she would have no interest in the young man. So when she agreed to pursue the shidduch, the Rosh Hashiva was thrilled. But there was a problem here. The son was not interested in her. And when the Rosh Hashiva heard the son's decision, he was furious. And he felt it must be that she really doesn't want you. You know, if she doesn't want you, I would understand. But you don't want her? You must have lost your mind. She's like the top, top girl. And that young man was sent to the author, Rav Moshe, to straighten him out. And the boy, the son of this Rosh Hashiva, said, frankly, she was such a refined, special young lady, it was completely obvious to him it was not his bashert. She was completely, exceptionally refined. He was not. It's not a good match. He had more rough character, abrasive character. So the bacher was honest with himself. She's not in my league in this type of thing. And the Moshe, the author, said, you're right. Not a shidduch. Rosh Hashiva heard this. He was furious at the author of this book. Furious at him. And in order to calm him down, he suggested, let's present this to the stipler. Went to the stipler. After listening to the story a few minutes, stipler also concluded, it's not a shidduch. What happened? Months later, Rosh Hashiva was out of the country. A shatkan approached regarding a certain girl in Eretz Yisrael that would be a good match for his son. The Rosh Hashiva called the author, said, Rav Moshe, you know how to break up shidduch. Let's see if you could break up this one too. So he told the Rosh Hashiva, I don't break up good shidduchim, but let me look into it. And the author found that this is a perfect shidduch for the match for the son of this Rosh Hashiva. And they met and they decided they wanted to take the next step. The author Rav Moshe brought them to the stipler. After speaking to each of them, the stipler agreed, perfect match. But he knew the father was not going to be happy about this. So the stipler personally called the father and told him that his son is engaged. And this is the way what the stipler said, very interesting. The son of the Rosh Hashiva also had very good midos. Just had a type of personality that gave the impression of being not so refined. So it appeared that he needed a wife who had a similar character. Other people may perceive them as being loud with each other, let's say. And in their terms, they're just having a labor-dicker discussion. So from the stipler's words here, you see that the value of midos is judged according to the relationship they're built. And you can have two individuals that are, by looking at it from a scientific standard, may be far from perfect in their midos, but that's exactly what they need in order to have their relationship to flourish. So that's the idea. Everyone needs to know themselves, needs to know their nature, and be honest with themselves. But what is good midos? What is good midos? There are three attributes for what Hashem wants from his children brought down in Tana Debel Yo Perek Chav Ches. That Rav Pam used to quote this Tana Debel Yo often. Kach Omer Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. This is what Hashem says to the Jewish people. Bini, my children, Ahuvi, my beloved ones, Kulum Chasarti Dova Shavakish Mikem, did I make anything lacking for you? What do I ask from you already? I only ask you this. Elishatiu Ayhavim Zeze, that you should love one another, the Mechabdin Zeze, and that you should honor each other. V'tiyu yireim zeh mizeh, and that you should fear each other. Interesting, we'll get to that. What does it mean, fear each other? Love, honor, and fear. Chazal is teaching us that one of Hashem's basic expectations from his children is that they interact with each other in a way that's in sync with their shayrish. They are children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you need kavod, respect, ahava, love, and yira. Yes, even fear. We'll talk about what fear means. It doesn't mean your fear of punishment or anything like that. And the Chazal bring two of them clearly. Ahayev ez ishtegi gufay, loving his wife like himself. Amechabde yoysem gufay, and honoring her even more. All of akosav aymar. Now this, the pasuk says, v'yadati kishalom ayelecha, that you'll know that your tent will be in peace. And the Rambam says, she adam mechabed es ishta yoyser migufay, v'yhavi kigufay. And the Rambam places honor before love, which we explained in the Matayvo Ayalecha. The Chazal say Ahava came first. The Rambam flips it around and says that respect comes first. And we'll explain what it is. And then he's also going to explain why it's Ahava and Kavod, love and honor, but doesn't mention Chesed, which is the attribute of giving. Now the question is, the third thing is Yira. That marriage also rests on Yira, on fear. What does fear mean here? What type of healthy thing is fear? The answer is that fear here does not mean you're afraid of punishment, doesn't mean you're afraid of an enemy. It's afraid of losing or damaging something that is very precious. The more you value a relationship, there is a certain fear which protects one from damaging the relationship. So when marriage has a couple that constantly cherishes each other, they protect their precious relationship, and there's a certain fear of them hurting that relationship. That's where the word yira is used. The deep recognition of the value of the relationship that needs to be guarded. It's not about punishment. That is the idea. Yiras Hashem, we say this. Someone loves Hashem so much, but it says Ashrei Ish Yirei Hashem. It says Yirei Hashem, and there's a Sefer Sadia Derazia that says it means Hashem is a Lashon of Rachmim and Ahava, that it's a Yira that comes from Ahava. Shoresh Yiras Hashem is Mis'ava L'davar, that V'ezav Anos Yitzrei B'shul Yiras Hashem. You leave your own Yetzahara because you have a fear of Hashem, not because you're afraid of punishment, not in this world and not in the next world, but you're afraid you won't be complete and shalom with Hashem in love. So that's yira, that awe or that fear, I don't want to hurt the relationship, is a big yesod in marriage. It's a very big and fundamental yesod in marriage. The question is why not chesed? Why isn't chesed one of those pillars? He says that there was a guy in the tzaddik, Rav Dov Yaffe, he once told the author, we need to scream out that Jewish marriages is not based on the midah of chesed. The damage this mistake causes is terrible. And there's no source in Chazal or Rishonim that marriage is based on chesed. Now, very important. That doesn't mean you don't do chesed in a marriage. Of course you do. But what happens is, what it means that it's not based on chesed, it because if you use the word chesed here, generally it's the giving and the receiving. There's a giver and a receiver, and giver wants to give something that the receiver lacks. And the giver wants to fulfill the lack of something's missing in the taker. And the giver feels more worthy when the receiver becomes more dependent on them. And that's not a healthy part of a marriage, that dependency here, or that you're doing the makabel a favor. So that's why it doesn't say to do chesed with her in the Torah. Al kein yazav ishes avis v'ishtoi v'davak, yisimoi v'davak v'ishtoi for chesed. Rather, it's called Simchas Oina. It's called Halecha Mashahu Oichel, the bread that he eats. It's not describing chesed. Chesed-based relationships lead to embarrassment. The Rambam says that's why tzedakah, the highest level of tzedakah, is when there is no embarrassment, when they feel they earned it. You put them on their feet. You make a business deal with them, a business partner, and so on and so forth. You don't embarrass the receiver. If a husband sees his wife as an unfortunate person that is dependent on his free giving, there's going to be a separation between the two. The giver-taker relationship. So that idea of chesed could devolve into unhealthy dependence or codependence. So of course you do chesed in marriage. You give, but not in this dynamic where you're perceived the other one needs me and I need to take care of them and they feel inferior thereof. They feel weak thereof. Same thing the other way around. If a wife perceives the husband feels that she is, you know, she's a receiver, needs her husband's sympathy. And if the wife treats her husband the same way, they'll both feel needy on each other, dependent on each other, not healthy. Free giving is an important part of marriage. But the giving itself is not in like giving chesed to a stranger, but you love your spouse. So you want to give to them because you love them. Sort of like the essence of what a mother to her baby relationship is. There's a natural maternal instinct to love the child, to feel their needs more than your own needs. A mother takes care of the child only because of that. If they do it because, I have to have there's a chesed, my child is deprived, innocent, helpless, I have to help them, the mother does it because of that, there's something wrong with the mother. It's a natural instinct as part of the relationship. Same thing over here. The marriage relationship is not based on the midah of the commandment of chesed. You're giving your wife because you're obligated to do chesed, and that's why you're giving to her. That's not what a husband is about. So that is the idea. It's a love based on oneness. If you do give gifts and you want to give, you do it in a way where the makabel is not embarrassed. You give tzedakah in certain ways, he's embarrassed or she's embarrassed. You give because of the connection of love, not because of giving and receiving. What led people to believe that the Jewish home rests just on chesed? It's because you do have this concept of male-female, noisin and mekabel, right? Because that the one is a giver in a certain sense, one is a receiver in a certain sense. And there is a dynamic like that. But the crux of the unity, the crux of the relationship is a complete Adam where they are connected not through the chesed, but through the love that they have with each other. When there's love, yes, then they'll do chesed for each other as well. It is within every couple to develop, or they have inherently, or to develop the midos of the relationship between the two to achieve it naturally. It's found in every single yid. Chaim Kanievsky said, there's no Jew who is too small to achieve this basic level of shlemus. You have the ability to do that. And the way the Rambam explains it, you have to do kavod before love, respect before love. Kavod is the background that allows the love to flourish. You need to have the kavod first before the lahava comes. So that is the idea. That's why the Chazal put love, because that's the tachlis. The Rambam puts kavod first because that's how you practically achieve the goal. That's how you get there. So that is one important big yesod about the tikkun hamidos that comes from ahava, yira, and kavod. In the next shiur, he's going to go more into kavod, Be'ezras Hashem. But the idea of yira is a fear, a certain fear of losing a relationship that's precious. And there needs to be that dynamic. There's like like you're afraid of a delicate, beautiful glass kais that you don't want to break, or a vase that you don't want to break because it's so delicate. This relationship is so delicate, I'm afraid of damaging it. That yira is healthy. And of course, then comes the kavod, and comes the Ahava. With Hava comes healthy chesed, but it's not based primarily on the concept of chesed. Bracha v'atzlacha.